Hello, this is the podcast for our class on November 22nd, and it's class number 26. And we've started intentional torts. It's important to think of intentional torts as the older torts. Certainly, we've talked about strict liability, the difference between trespass and case. Negligence kind of evolved out of strict liability. But intentional torts were really the first kind of private action, civil action, because it evolved out of the very early lawless days where people would be more inclined to take matters into their own hands and self-help. You feel you've been violated by somebody, you take matters in your own hands and start to be violent to them. So intentional torts was a way to keep the peace, basically, react to the need for other remedies, legal remedies outside of self-help and self-laws. So these intentional torts were really, the goal really is peacekeeping. So negligence, where we're looking for some serious damage, the damages here can be nominal because the act itself is the injury. And we saw this before under trespass and nuisance, where the trespass is the injury, the nuisance is the injury. Having your use and enjoyment of your land disturbed is the injury. So that damages really can be nominal. Monetary damages don't have to be much because the injury really is the tort itself. And in these intentional torts, particularly when we talk about battery, some of the other dignitary torts like intentional infliction of emotional distress or false imprisonment, the tort itself is the injury. So the damages may be not all that much. What we want to do is discourage this kind of behavior. We want to discourage risky behavior, and risk is what negligence is all about. But here is intentional behavior, and you can certainly discourage that. So we want to discourage this kind of intentional behavior, and that's what these torts do. So we're talking about intentional behavior as opposed to risky behavior, and that's negligence. So we're moving away from negligence, moving away from risk into the area of certainty. We're not looking at motive. Motive is irrelevant for intent. Motive is criminal law. There are certainly things that are both actions that can be both criminal and tortious, but motive is what distinguishes them. We're just looking at intent. We're looking at the behavior and the consequences following that behavior, not the reason for the behavior, and motive is the reason. So that's in the realm of criminal law. The big question is not so much the elements of the causes of action themselves. Next class, we'll look at assault, battery, false imprisonment, emotional distress. Those are kind of easy. That's an easy thing. The elements are very simple. What's the difficulty in intentional torts is defining intent. It's got to be more than just really risky behavior or behavior of such magnitude that it might be reckless. We don't talk about recklessness as a cause of action here, but it's, the notion is there's risk and then there's a high degree of risk. Intent is something beyond that. So we want to look at somebody's subjective knowledge that consequently these bad consequences are going to happen, but we also have an objective standard too. So our definition of intent is purpose or substantial certainty that the invasive results will occur. Purpose to commit an invasive result, whether it's, and the invasive result is the tort, is the cause of action, whether it's assault, battery, any of the others. Purpose that this invasive result will occur, or substantial certainty will occur. Purpose is the subjective part, or objective, substantial certainty. Anyone would know that this invasive result will occur, whatever the tort, the touching, or the fear, whatever your tort is, that's the invasive result. So our illustrative case is a hard one. We had the child. Why is it suing in intentional torts? Because the great weight of opinion is that younger children can be held liable for intentional torts because they, at a very young age, you know the consequences of your actions, as opposed to the difficulty in children in knowing the risk involved in their actions. And negligence depends on risk. Intentional tort just depends on certainty, the knowledge that something, the consequences will result from your actions. So we had a youngster, a five-year-old, pulling out a chair. He said he didn't intend to harm anyone. And the lower court said, well, if he didn't mean to harm anyone and it just happened, well, then no intent. Intent or purpose. This court had not introduced the element of substantial certainty. And the appeals court said they didn't go far enough. We need to know what he knew. That is, did he know what was going to happen when he pulled the chair out? Maybe it was, you know, basically the lower court believed him and the appellate court didn't. The appellate court said, we want to go further. We need more facts to know what he knew or what he should have known. Subjectively, what he did know, objectively, what he should have known. If it was just moving the chair, even a child knows that if you move a chair, somebody's going to fall. Didn't sue him in negligence because he was too young. Does a very young child know the risk of what they do when they move chairs around? But the a lot of times the bright line between intent and negligence isn't that great. At what point is something so risky that it becomes a matter of certainty? So I use the idea of shooting a gun in the desert and hitting somebody. Probably not even negligent behavior, definitely not intent. There was no purpose or substantial certainty that you were going to hit somebody, versus shooting a gun in a crowded city up in the air in celebration and the bullet hits someone. We might, because we live in crowded cities, might think, oh, well, this is, you know, this is intentional. But I assure you, there still is the element of risk. Substantial certainty really has to go beyond risk, risky, highly risky. Certain is, it's a bright line. Certain, substantial certainty, near certainty. And shooting a gun up in the air, it's substantially certain that it won't hit someone. Although we may be be so risk averse as to not want to admit that. It's the notion of certainty is beyond it could happen. Certainty is it will happen. So we talked about intent. It needs purpose or substantial certainty. If you have your purpose of affecting an outcome, even though it's really unlikely that it will happen, your purpose is there. That's all there is to it. Enough for intent. You can transfer intent. I mean to hit somebody, but I hit somebody else. My intent is transferred to that other person. You can transfer intent between causes of action. I mean to scare you, but I end up hitting you. I didn't mean to hit you. I just meant to scare you. Or your intent is transferred between what you intended, which was the assault, to what happened, which was the battery. The question of what distinguishes negligence from intentional torts comes about through causation. You still need an intentional torts causation, although the idea of proximate cause may be less a limitation on liability than under negligence. Negligence, remember, it's risky behavior, you know, faulty behavior, but not as unlawful, as you see courts calling intentional torts unlawful, as the intentional behavior. So there's less reason to limit liability, less reason to go to hold something unforeseeable. Defenses can be different. Defenses in intentional torts are called privileges. We talked about this under negligence. We talked about, trespass and nuisance, that the privileges. In intentional torts, again, we'll see later on, privileges to battery, self-defense. You hit me, I hit you back, my privilege is self-defense. I was privileged. It was okay for me to do that. What defenses you don't have in intentional torts are contributory negligence. There's nothing to be compared with. And assumption of risk. We're not talking about risk. We're talking about intent. And there's no way to assume intent. But other compensatory damages, if there are real damages, maybe nominal, but there may be real injuries, and certainly punitives are available. Question whether punitives are always, whether you're always entitled to punitives when there's an intentional tort. Can't be, but some courts have discussed that. Remember intent, just remember this, it's purpose or substantial certainty that the invasive result will occur. What we're talking about are the consequences. Purpose or substantial certainty that these consequences will come about. And the consequences are going to be the elements of the tort. So next class we're going to talk about battery, we're going to talk about assault, false imprisonment, intentional infliction of emotional distress. I hope we get to that. We may not till the last class. But anyway, assault, battery, false imprisonment, and continue up through intentional infliction of emotional distress.